Welcome to the Purpose to Service podcast, a weekly show for coaches and online experts who are on a mission to build a sustainable business that fuels the life they desire. Whether you're just getting started, are a seasoned expert, or you just stumbled over here by chance, every week you can expect to hear some of my best tips and strategies on how to build a thriving coaching business and interviews from other women entrepreneurs who are crushing it in their industry. Are you ready to build a successful coaching business with intention? I'm Alicia Robertson, and I can't wait to guide you through this journey. Grab your pen and your paper, and let's dive in. Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Purpose to Service podcast. So this week I am talking with Miss Tamara Darden. So Tamara is the founder, creative director, and lead photographer of Darden Creative. Darden Creative specializes in bright, colorful, and modern product photography and motion video for Black and multicultural beauty and lifestyle brands. After several years in corporate retail, she dedicated her merchandising, styling, and creativity skills to create product photography that sells for Darden Creative's beauty and lifestyle clients. Since 2016, she has had the fortune of creating content for Macy's, Harper's Bazaar, Base Butter, Telefora, Essence Magazine, and Wedding Wire, to name a few. She leads a dynamic team of creatives, ensuring that every client is taken care of through Darden Creative's proven content creation process. Their signature system ensures that every client has social media content that makes their customers fall in love time and time again. Since 2016, Darden Creative has worked with over 100 brands creating custom social media content for their social media platforms and websites. Tamara has been able to triple and even quadruple her clients' income with photography that's made to sell. When she's not bringing a brand's vision to life, you can find her empowering product photographers via the Photo CEO, flexing her interior design skills in her apartment, or dropping gems on the gram. Tamara, welcome to the show, girl.
Oh, thank you so much, girl. I feel like I do not hype myself up enough. I'm listening
to
read all this stuff. I'm like, who did that?
Sure, you did. Look, receipts on top of receipts.
It's so crazy. Like 2016, like, wow, I am old.
You know? Oh, no.
I'm seasoned. I'm maturing like a fine wine.
Yes. So we have had a lot of conversations about a lot of the things that I wanted to talk to you about, but I figured it was time that the world actually hears these conversations. So we have talked a lot before about like niching down and the power of being very, very clear and very specific as to like who your target audience is. So what made you want to niche down to working with like beauty and lifestyle brands, but specifically product photography?
Yeah, a really great question. First, it was a lot of trial and error. I will start there. Before I transitioned to product photography and styling, I was doing wardrobe styling. And I did that for about 2 years. And I transitioned to product styling, one, because I was just tired of chasing checks. And I just wanted more freedom around how I worked, you know, more flexibility. Mm-hmm. And I noticed, or rather I realized that I was not going to go back to a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So I needed to pivot and I knew that it needed to work. And so this was around the same time that Instagram started to explode on the scene. Yeah. It was chronological. Consumers were becoming more conscious about where they were spending their money. Mm-hmm. They were becoming more conscious consumers. And, you know, that kind of set the stage for a lot of Black-owned brands, you know, mm-hmm. small businesses to pretty much emerge and begin to use Instagram as a platform to share their product. Mm-hmm. And so I thought to myself, okay, I can translate wardrobe styling into product styling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these Black-owned brands deserve to have quality content, just like any other luxury brand that has, you know, a multi-million dollar or even hundreds of thousands of dollars of a marketing budget. Yeah. And so that's when I started offering the service. Mm-hmm. But it took another year and a half before I actually committed to only offering product photography, which a lot of people don't know that. So I was offering product photography. I was also offering social media management. I was also offering website design, like sprinkle that up in there. And it became very overwhelming for me to have to figure out, okay, when am I going to promote this service with this service? You know, how do I explain to people what it is that I do? Mm-hmm. You know, it just became confusing, not only for my audience, but also for me. Yeah. And so I asked myself two questions. Mm-hmm. The first question was, which one of these out of the three that I do I genuinely enjoy doing? So not just because I can do it and that I'm good at it, but that I can see myself doing this for at least another 2 to 3 years. Right? That was the first question. Something that I feel like I can really enjoy doing for the next 2 to 3 years and talk about over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Right? That was the first question. The second question was, which one of these three would I be willing to learn more about in order to improve my craft in this industry, right? So website design, it was something that I can do, but CSS, you know, WordPress, all that stuff, like I didn't have a desire to learn more. It was becoming entirely too custom. And so I said no to that. Social media, yes, I can do it. I have a really great social media presence, but that doesn't mean that I want to translate those services for other people. And I had to be honest about that. And so I made the decision to specifically do product photography. The beauty and lifestyle piece, again, that was over time of shooting a lot of different types of product photography, to be honest, you know, apparel and beauty, makeup and, you know, home decor, you know, and I finally, again, trial and error, kind of found my way into the beauty and lifestyle space. So it sounds very long, but I think this is a process that we tend to forget about, is that it is, it's trial and error, and also being honest with ourselves about, yes, I can do this, but do I really want to do it?
Ooh, that's the thing right there. Especially now, I feel like with so many people sharing so much of their life and what's working in their business online, it's like, yeah, I could do that, but am I actually going to be fulfilled? Is this going to stress me out? Is this going to like make me resent waking up every morning? It's like, I can do it, but do I really want to?
And there are a lot of things that we can do, but when it comes down to it, we don't want to do it. And for me, there was a certain way that I wanted to operate in my life. I realized that less really is more for me. Yeah. And that I only want to be talking about two things at one time. Yeah. You know, I did not want to have to talk about five different services at one time. It just didn't work for me. And truth be told, you know, I share this all the time. The riches are in the niches. When I look at my revenue from the time that I was offering three different services to one, I was seeing double digit growth year over year. Like I saw that my business, the growth was accelerating. As soon as I said, I'm only going to talk about one thing and be known for one thing. And I think the thing that scares people about that is that they feel like it puts them in a box.
Yep.
And it's like, this is temporary, right? Like whatever temporary it means for you, right? Mm-hmm. Just because I am great at product photography now, and that is the core of my business, does not mean that I cannot start something else 2 to 3 years down the line, mm-hmm. right? You have to think there's always a means to an end to something else,
yep.
right? Like, we have the fortune of living a lot of different lives, and I've lived plenty before Darden Creative came on the scene, right? And so you just have to be understanding that just because you offer one thing right now does not mean that's going to be your forever thing.
Yeah.
It probably won't be.
Yeah.
That's
the way.
Yeah, it's impossible. And like you said, I think that's the thing that keeps so many people hesitant from like actually mm-hmm. down. But it's like, at the end of the day, you make your own rules. Like, you can do what you want to do, you know? But like you said, this is temporary. You can easily use this to build onto something else, and then that will build onto something else. And like, nobody mm-hmm. knows truly, as much as we can plan, no one really knows where they're going to be 10, 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. So like, you have to be open to at least starting from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the piece that holds so many people back. It's like, they don't want to get stuck in one thing, so they just avoid starting altogether.
Mm-hmm. And I never have felt like I feel stuck.
Yeah.
Offering only product photography. Mm-hmm. If anything, it allowed people to keep me on the top of their list, right? Because, oh, I may not be able to work with Tamara right now, but mm-hmm. I think I know 2 to 3 other people who can work with her right now or in the future,
yep.
right? But it's easy for them to put me on a short list of Black women product mm-hmm. photographers, because that was something, or that has been something that I've dedicated my time to for all these years. So I have those receipts, not because I've offered a ton of, you know, services and mm-hmm. discounts,
yeah.
you know, over the years. Those receipts are not from you spreading myself thin. Those receipts came from getting very clear as to who I want to serve, and then recognizing when it's time to update the clientele. That's the other thing that's so great, why I don't feel pigeonholed, is because my clientele has grown as I have grown.
You've right? worked like, with some amazing brands.
Thank you. And it's so funny because some of those brands I worked with when I had an iPhone, you know, like, so like growth is inevitable. You know what I mean? Like, if you are really paying attention to what's happening in your space and you're acknowledging your own growth, you're like, it's just, I feel like I've been exposed to so many amazing things because I niched down.
Yeah.
Not because, you know, I said no to other things. That's the other thing too. People feel like, oh, if you say no, that means that you're closing yourself mm-mm. from things. And I really feel like it is the complete opposite. Like, use me as an example if you must, you know, like, once I said no, I'm not doing the websites, I'm not doing the social media management, it really allowed me to, one, get focused and get really clear as to, like, you know, what I want to do, how I want to serve my people. Mm-hmm. It allowed me to really improve my customer interaction so that I can get more retention, like more repeat clients. And then also it started to expose me to these bigger brands that they know exactly what they're looking for, and so that they can find that in me. You know, like, it's a win-win. There are no downsides mm-hmm. to narrowing your focus, in my opinion, you know?
But I thank you for like busting that myth, because you said I didn't get my receipts from doing a million different things. I got mm-hmm. my receipts from when I niched out. And so many people think, okay, I need to make $1,000. Let me think of all these different offers and courses and coaching and all these different things I can do to make this consistent $1,000 or whatever, when you could literally just create one offer for $1,000.
An offer for $1,000. Right, exactly.
Selling that.
Like, you know, even with the Photo CEO, you know, like, because mm-hmm. that's seen a lot of iterations as well. Like I had to get clear on who my ideal client was for that too, you know? And it's one, I'm offering one program and I still am finding ways to niche down even further so that I can serve my people as best as I can. And to your point, right, how can I make $1,000? Oh, you can offer a service that's $500 each.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can offer one service for $1,000 and consistently sell that over and over and over again.
Yep. And it's so much easier to market one thing.
It is.
Like I was so stressed. You have no clue how stressed out I was when I had 12 different courses, 3 different coaching programs, all these other things. I was so stressed out. Physical products. I wanted to cry every single day. And then I started offering one thing and was like, oh, this isn't that bad.
What a relief. It's like this burden that just lifts mm-hmm. off your shoulders, right? And then like your workload also, in my opinion, decreases.
Yeah.
Eventually, because eventually you start to implement systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to automate things. And so what probably took you, you know, 2 hours to do way back in the day now only takes you, you know, the click of a button because you have implemented all these systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, less is more. That is my ethos. That's how I style. That's how I operate. That's how I show up. That's, as you can see in the back, like less is more for me. You know, it allows me to just think clearer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't need all the noise.
No, like 7 streams of income, you know, 2 of those can be the only active things that you do.
Facts.
The other 5, literally investments,
mm-hmm.
stock portfolio,
mm-hmm.
401k, IRA,
mm-hmm.
all the acronyms, you know what I mean? Like there are so many ways to get to wealth that don't mean jeopardizing your well-being and your wellness in the process.
Yeah. So this question is going to be a little off topic and I promise we'll get back to talking about like business part. But one of the things that I like talking to other service providers about is how they are doing what they do while also taking care of themselves, especially for something like photography where like you can't sit on the couch and do your photography. You know, you can edit, but you have to be present. So how are you taking care of yourself while also managing like your service-based business?
This is a really great question. You know, I'm figuring out that balance right mm-hmm. now. I've talked to you about this in like private conversations. And I also share this on Instagram of just, no one really tells you what happens when you have been able to stop trading your time for dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Like no one tells you what your schedule will now look like or can look like now that you are working a lot less.
Yeah.
But you're earning a whole lot more.
Yeah.
You know, there were times where like, man, like I've had like 3 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Simultaneously while growing this business, you know, it was not that long ago where I had a part-time job and I was teaching spin class, like 4 to 5 classes a week. And I was managing photography clients and social media, like, and so when you're in that like work hustle mode, in that season, you're not really thinking about self-care, truth be told. You're just thinking about, you know, how you're going to pay your bills,
right?
You know, from month to month. Now it's kind of like I have way more space from client to client, which was intentional because I did not have that. And it's like, okay, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, you know, like it's an adjustment. Mm-hmm. It's an adjustment to not feel like, gosh, I'm not doing anything. I need to be doing something
because
I don't want to be seen as lazy or not productive as an Enneagram 3, right? Like where we value productivity. It's very weird to be like, everything is caught up. There's nothing that I really need to do. I can literally just sit. And so one of the things that I am starting to enjoy is just sitting.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird. I say all that to say, I enjoy sitting. Yeah. I enjoy naps. Sometimes I enjoy not having to make a decision because I've learned that I can suffer from decision fatigue, and it manifests in very different ways for me that I'm recognizing about myself. And so not having to make decisions is a way that I implement self-care. It doesn't matter if it's a day, 2 days, like I make no decisions. Like, obviously you need to go pee, like, you know, like biodiversity is important, you know, take, you know, do what you got to do. But like, I try to like add a day or two to be like, I'm not making any major decisions right now at all. Another way of implementing self-care is essentially how I work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't take meetings on Mondays or Fridays. Mm-hmm. You know, I only shoot, unless it's a corporate client, I only shoot Thursdays and Fridays. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't work on the weekends, you know, like shooting, unless I want to, unless it's a choice that I have personally made. And so because I built those things into how I work, there's always some sort of self-care that is happening at any time of the day. Mm-hmm. And then just not making the decisions is just like an added layer. I hope that helps anyone out there. I just wanted to be honest, because like self-care, I think it is broad. And self-care can also be paying your bills on time. So like for me, paying my bills, you know, having a certain amount of money always saved, because you never know, emergencies pop up. And so, you know, it's not always facials. I do get that. But, you know, for me, it's just how I'm implementing certain boundaries and certain workflows in my life, so that there's always some self-care happening, even if it's not a massage or YOLO, spend money, because Taurus life, you know? I hope that answers the question.
It does perfectly. Cause I want to move past people thinking that self-care is only supposed to look one way. Like for me right now, I'm getting prepared for a launch. So like self-care for me is just staying hydrated, like literally getting as much water inside of me as I can. Mm-hmm. And like for you, like you said, it's sitting in silence. It's like just sitting there. Like it looks different for so many other people. And I think the key is just figuring out what makes you feel recharged, what makes you feel present in the moment, which I feel like a lot more of us, especially as entrepreneurs, it's almost hard to just stay in the present and not be thinking about your next decision or thinking about it's what you got to do.
Very hard.
Yeah. So
it's very hard.
Yeah.
Sorry. No, there was one thing I want to say too, is this, some people may consider this luxury, but you know, I took the month of August off. Mm-hmm. So I took no client work ish. I didn't take any photography work.
Yeah.
That has been an aspiration of mine, to be able to take the month of August off, because just, you know, when you start paying attention to the trends, the ebbs and flows of your business, you start to notice patterns. Mm-hmm. And so I noticed that, like, even in a panini that, you know, August still is slow. So I made the decision to say, you know what, I'm not going to take any work in August, and anything that I decide to do, it'll be my choice. And that was a way of how I temper my decision making.
Yeah.
Or having to answer to other people and to always be on all the time. Now, in the process of resting in August, I now launching something else. And so my friends, you know, jokingly are like, you aren't supposed to do any work. But the thing is, like, it's not the work that require, like, sustains my well-being, like my livelihood.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. These are personal passion projects that have been on my mind that now I have the space to actually do them and work on them and noodle on them for as much as I want to without any other interference. That's self-care too. I think sometimes we feel like self-care is only self-care if we don't do any work.
Yeah.
I think for me, it was like, one, self-care is anything.
Mm-hmm.
But self-care can also look like working on something else that isn't tied to your livelihood.
Yeah, yeah.
Low thinking, you know what I mean? Like, that's self-care too, guys.
Yeah.
You know?
I recently started vlogging and someone was like, you're supposed to be simplifying and like not adding on. And I'm like, but I don't look at me vlogging as like something that's about to like be strategic.
And blow me up.
Yeah. You know? Like, I'm enjoying the process. I look at it as something that I can look back on in a few years and like watch my process. Like, and I'm enjoying doing something new, even though it's work. I'm just enjoying doing something that is out of the norm, you know?
Do you feel like it's also because it's utilizing a different part of your brain as well?
Yeah.
And so that keeps it interesting. Like, I am, you know, using skills that I haven't used in a while or that I've never used in a while. And for me, that is interesting. I think you're an Enneagram 3 too, I think. I think you recently did the test.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think that's what I am. Yeah. We talked about it, I think.
We briefly talked about it. Yeah. And like, you know, I'm totally not into these things until I am, like all these personality tests. But I feel like for us, we find value in tinkering with things. And like, people don't need to understand it. Like, it is not your job to understand it. I need to understand it. I need to enjoy it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I am creating a full strategy for a product launch, don't think, oh my God, like, you're supposed to be resting. This actually is rest for me
because
I'm using a completely different part of my brain that is not really required, mainly with how I essentially, you know, live my life or my livelihood or how I pay my bills. You know what I mean? And that is okay. It's completely normal. And that is okay. It's okay, guys.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's okay.
It's all right. And like, I feel like it's so hard. It's so hard for entrepreneurs, period, to even have a hobby that they're not like, oh my gosh, this has to be like the next six.
Right. This has to work. Well, actually, it could fail. It could fail and you could learn something from it and okay, be done. You know what I mean? It's okay.
Yeah. My husband was like, do you see yourself like continuing to vlog? And I'm like, I like it now. And like, that's all that matters. Like, I may not in a couple months and I don't have any attachments to it. If in a couple months I'm over it, cool.
You can stop.
Yeah.
I think, oh man, the power of quitting. That's also, you know, segueing back to Nietzsche.
Yeah.
That is also really important, is that people feel like, well, if I quit this thing, then that makes me a failure. No, does not make you a failure. Do you think I felt like a failure when I said buy websites, buy social media? No, it's not something that I enjoyed, that I knew that I was not going to enjoy. You know, months, even years down the line, right? I think we have to embrace quitting.
Mm-hmm.
I think learning when to quit is one of the strongest skills an entrepreneur can learn.
Mm-hmm.
Next to niching down is quitting. And I think that's why, thinking about it, I think that's why people don't like to niche. Aside from feeling like, oh, I'm going to be stuck in a box, I think it's this fear of, well, if I say no to all these things, I'm quitting on myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's really you're prioritizing so much more when you decide to narrow down, because you're saying yes to getting your time back. You're saying yes to getting your peace of mind back. You're saying yes to growth because you're quitting other things, mm-hmm. right? So I think we have to embrace quitting. It's like one of the top five things I think an entrepreneur needs to learn is how to quit.
Ooh, that'll preach right there. I'll make that. Good, because if you think about it, like throughout your entire career, I know definitely throughout my entire career, I wouldn't be where I am today had I not decided to quit several times.
100%. 100%. I've quit so many things. Yeah. I thank my grandmother for that, you know, because I do think that, you know, nurture versus nature when it comes to anything that we do, especially entrepreneurship, because it is not for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I will say, like, thinking back growing up, I did a lot of things. And when I didn't want to do it anymore, I would be like, Mom, I don't want to do this anymore. I do not want to go back. And yeah. She'd be like, okay. She encouraged it almost. Like, you can say it's enabling or you can say encourage or whatever, but she allowed me to have autonomy. Yeah. And that's not something that children tend to experience, and it manifests in very different ways once you become an adult. Like, you know, like we all go to therapy for the shit that happened when we were children. But I will say, like, her, in hindsight, that was autonomy at play, of being able to be like, you know, yeah, I'm going to Alvin Ailey School of Dance, true story. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I remember it was lunchtime and we had just finished ballet. We were about to get ready to go into jazz class. It was lunch. It was like 50 girls sitting in a practice room. Mm-hmm. And someone turned on some music and then people started dancing, you know, like it's a dance school and people were just cheering them on. And I knew right then and there, this is not for me. Like, I knew the emotions that I was experiencing were not normal for dance mm-hmm. school. And I was like, Mom, I'm done.
Yeah.
Step out before y'all waste any more money on me. Yeah. You know, like,
this is
tap me out. This that's it, you know, like, and being able to play tennis, you know, going to modeling school, like, you know, having exposure to those things let me know that there were so many things out there for me. But also, if I wanted to stop, I could, you know, no one's forcing me to do something against my will.
Because you don't know what you like until you try different things. Exactly. And that can be applied to hobbies, business, dating, all kinds of things.
Another conversation for another time.
We're gonna have to come back for that one.
Six water, okay. I promise we're professional guys.
We are.
Oh God. Okay.
So see, now I can't keep a straight face.
I'm sorry. How are you? I'm sorry. Edit this out. I'm so sorry.
Ooh, okay.
I apologize.
You're good. In addition to you also being a photographer, amazing photographer, if y'all haven't seen her work, go to her site and look, go to her Instagram and look. But you also decided to be in this position of like a coach to other photographers as well. What made you want to like kind of shift off into doing more coaching and like more mentoring for others?
Yeah, great question. Simple answer, no one was talking about money. I would go into spaces with other photographers who were not necessarily product photographers, just photographers, women photographers. And they would see me, you know, talk about money and how I'm increasing my prices and why I'm increasing my prices. And we would all get together, you know, happy hours and stuff. And the conversation was always around like pricing.
Yeah.
like, how do you pressure things? Like, you know, don't you feel guilty? How do you organize your workflow? Because I'm just post-its back here, you know? And I was just like, all these conversations are around the same things. Mm-hmm. And also because I noticed that my growth was accelerated. Like I said, like I was seeing like double digit growth every year. Mm-hmm. I was like, I think what I'm doing is working. Let me test it out. And I just, honestly, I did no launch. I just had some things that I wanted to teach and share. And I remember I was like, hey y'all, I'm launching a beta program about, you know, around the business of photography. If anyone is interested, let me know, I'll charge. It was like $400. It was something so cheap, but I just was like, I'm just curious to know if there's a need for this. Mm-hmm. Now, fast forward, yes. There is a huge need for it. But the main reason was because it just seemed so taboo to talk about just the business of photography and how it relates to women specifically. And pricing was just always the point of contention, followed by promoting yourself on Instagram, which people saw me do that a lot. And so they were just like, how do you do it? It's like, well, I think I'm a natural entertainer, but I think the other thing was just, I just scheduled a lot of things, you know, for me, there was no plan B. Let me also say this. There was no plan B. When I started my business, I was already 2 years removed from my full-time job. Mm. I was, you know, on unemployment. I was working various jobs. You know, I realized that wardrobe styling was not the direction that I wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And so this had to work. And so, you know, you're just hungry. And I was hungry. So if that meant, you know, okay, I'm only going to talk about this one thing, even though I'm overdraft, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to make Instagram my platform of choice to market myself. And I'm just going to share content. I'm going to just post and post and post and post. And I think that when you realize that it is all on you, there's no money in the back to be like, okay, I got you. There's no family member with a hidden trust fund.
Yeah.
You just show up differently. Mm-hmm. Downplay or condescend people who have a cushion.
Mm-hmm.
Use that to your advantage. Yeah. Now is the time to put yourself out there, right? Mm-hmm. But when I tell you that there was no net, there was no cushion. I was literally starting at zero. And so that was the motivation for me to show up, you know, and really figure it out. And it was a lot of mistakes, a lot of trial and error. And so the other reason why I started the program, aside from pricing, was that I didn't want other people to experience the same things that I did in the first 3 years that I was in business.
Yeah.
You know, you need to have a contract. It needs to have the scope of work. You need to have to get a deposit up front before you do any work. You know what I mean? Like, you need to implement boundaries. And these are things that sometimes are not talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then people start to feel resentment behind their business. And so I just was like, I want to create a container where I can talk about all of these things, like no fluff, no bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you need. Here are the resources. Now go off and prosper. That really was it, because there was no umbrella. there was none of that. It was like out, you know? So yeah, that is why I started coaching. And also I have a love-hate relationship with coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't consider, at least in my near future, to transition completely into coaching.
Yeah.
My service-based business is, it's my priority.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not making money in my service-based business, then I need to figure out why that's not happening. Mm-hmm. And so I think because I am bringing that type of energy in my coaching program, like, this is not money to sustain me. It allows me to show up and operate in a way that feels good to me, as opposed to I am solely reliant on it.
Yeah.
And if I, you know, if I don't have a $20,000 launch, well then shit, you know, damn it. Now I can't pay my bills. You know what I mean? But yeah, that was my original thought around coaching, was that I could talk about flat lays all day.
Yeah.
But if you don't know how to price your flat lays, and negotiate, it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Facts. So this podcast, my brand, I know me and you have talked about sustainability and building with intention. There are a lot of pieces that go into building a sustainable business. But the biggest piece, or one of the biggest pieces, is you got to make money. You can't sustain something.
Oh, Lord.
Where you're broke, right? You got to bring in money. So from a photographer's photography type of standpoint, like, what steps would you suggest another photographer putting into place if they are in like this feast or famine type of mode in their photography business? Like, what steps could you give them to help them to build more stability into their business?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Excuse me. The first thing is to recognize you're in a feast and famine.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes we feel like, okay, I made $3,000 this month, but it was across 8 clients. That's still feast and famine, right? It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
That leads to burnout. And so the first thing is recognizing that. The second is giving yourself grace, because you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And once you have access to the techniques, it takes time to see a turn. So, you know, the first is just acknowledge that you're in the feast and famine. The second is to give yourself grace. The third thing, practicality wise, is to really look at all of your packages, like write them all out. Mm-hmm. If you find yourself saying, you always customizing things, right? Like scope creep, like you really want to offer something, but then, you know, you get on a discovery call, you get a sob story. Now you want to create this customized package. Mm-hmm. That's scope creep. And so what you really want to do is you want to simplify your offers, and having, you know, one thing be the variable. Maybe the variable is the number of images you get, right? And so just a little like lifting the hood for Darden Creative, when I really standardized the process, I offered 3 packages. The biggest differentiator was the number of images you received.
Mm-hmm.
And I offered those three packages. That was it. There was no extra, you know, oh, well, if you just want a la carte, no. Yeah. You can get a la carte once you confirmed a package. So you can get additional images if you confirmed a package, right? So not feeling like you have to customize, like really simplifying your offers. That's the first thing, or one of the first things. The other thing is just really writing out your expenses. Sometimes we tend to just create packages with numbers out of thin air. Mm-hmm. And really, you need to make sure that it is tied to how your business is run, like financially, like the cost of business, and then your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to make $15,000 a month, right? Like, that's my minimum. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that's my base. And so I need to say, okay, how much of that goes towards my bills, yeah, my taxes? Okay, like 5,000, 6 to 5,000. So that leaves me with 9,000, mm-hmm, right? And being, I'm happy with that, right? Yeah. But like, maybe you want to bring in 5,000, okay? So 5,000, you know, take 2,000. Okay, so 5,000 total is what you want to bring in each month. So your packages need to build into that.
Yeah.
Right. And also how many clients you want to serve. Like, if I'm saying that, you know, I want to bring in 15,000 a month, there's no way in hell that I'm going to get to 15,000 and not be dead at the end of the month if I'm saying that my biggest package is $1,000.
Yeah.
How many people is that? But that's 15 people. And yeah, you're saying that an average project takes you 30 hours to do.
You'd be passed out.
You'd be dead, right? And so you have to really think strategically with your packages, making sure that you're not treating your photography business as a commodity, which tends to happen, where they give like a price per image, like it's $40 per image. And it's like, but ma'am, you're shooting, you're styling probably, if you're a product photographer, you're editing the images as well, right? You're managing the client process. You're using software to upload the photos, to give the client access to the photos. Mm-hmm. I just listed 6 to 7 different roles and responsibilities, right? So therefore, you have to make sure that you're packaging all of that thing in a value-based offer and not saying it's a price per image. Because if a client comes to you or someone comes to you and say they only want 2 images and your price per image is $80, you're not making no money off of that.
And you just spent all that time working.
You just spent 20 hours creating 2 images. Mm-hmm. Right. And to you as a photographer and for women especially, we're like, oh, but we love this, right? Like, we love what we do. I can do this for free. Girl, don't.
That's cute to say, but
that's cute. So Pepco is knocking on your door,
right,
for the electricity money, right? Like, so you have to make sure that you are packaging your offers for value. Mm-hmm. I always tell my students, before I even start looking at their pricing, mm-hmm, I'm like, I'm gonna be honest with you, you probably all need to increase your packages by $300 to $500 without me even looking, yeah, at what your pricing is right now.
Yeah.
Because the value that you are already giving to your clients is not being properly compensated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's just the base. That's not
That's not even going into the complexities of what you're offering, who your client is, mm-hmm, right? How much money that business brings in. You're right. Like, we're not even talking about that. And maybe I should have started the list there, is that if you are listening to this or watching this, you probably need to increase your prices by probably $300 to $500.
I remember you telling me a while ago I need to increase my prices.
Listen, I be telling everybody that I follow, listen, because all I follow are experts, okay? Like, they are experts in what they do. They know what the F they're doing. They have the receipts. You know, like, they are out here changing people's lives, allowing them to build sustainable lifestyles and businesses. Mm-hmm. Yes, you need to be fairly compensated for that. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that later. But yes, everyone needs to be fairly compensated. And yeah, I also understand that you have to be comfortable in the pricing that you're offering, because if you do not feel confident, it's going to come out when you're saying your pricing, right? Like, you're like, okay, I'm sharing my prices. And you're like, okay, so I guess it's 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's $1,000 for 20 images. It's inclusive of prop shopping, styling, mood board, access to a private client portal, mm-hmm. et cetera, right? Like, just changing the tone of things. So I understand wanting to be comfortable in the pricing that you come up with, but nobody should be charging $500 or less.
Yeah.
If you are watching this and you are in product photography, you've been in product photography at least a year, 2 years. When I was a year, 2 years, like actually finally like pricing and had getting my ish together, mm-hmm. I was charging $500. And when I was doing the math, I was like, the math ain't mathing. This just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I need to increase this to at least 750, mm-hmm. right? So everyone's barometer, if you are at least 1 year out, you're getting clients, people love your work, you need to be at 750.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if people feel like that's a hot take or that's spicy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
750. None of this $40 per image. And that's like, you're not doing stock photography. You are doing custom photography for a brand that is now going to utilize that content to make more money.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to use it over and over.
And they're going to use it over and over again. I remember that I created content for a brand that I love,
mm-hmm.
In like December of 2018. And do you know they were still using those photos as of 2020?
Wow.
Get your money. Get your point. But you have to
say that over and over again.
Oh, and you have to get comfortable with your numbers. I mean, that's,
mm-hmm.
you have to get comfortable with your numbers.
Yeah.
And the photo CEO, that's like the first chapter that we review is your pricing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it's going to take you the other 7 weeks to get comfortable with that pricing. So we might as well just get it out the way now.
Yeah.
Right. But it's the first thing that we talk about and just really like writing everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, taxes, my expenses, my lifestyle, how many clients I actually want to serve in a month's time,
mm-hmm.
right? And calculating all of that and then coming up with pricing that you feel good with, but still understanding that it's going to cover your livelihood, you know? Like, not to go off on a tangent, but I mean, I had a student in my last cohort. She tripled her prices,
mm-hmm.
in 2 weeks and booked clients at that new price.
Yeah.
Had her biggest revenue month ever,
mm-hmm.
simply by just looking at her numbers, not having emotion tied to it and being like, I need to increase my prices.
Yeah. And that's the thing, the emotion tied to it. Like, when I talk with my clients about pricing, like there's always some hesitation, but mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, fear aside, what would this extra money allow you to be able to do? Like pay your light bill on time? Like, you know, put your kid in dance class? Like think of that.
Name the money.
Yeah.
Name the money. Like what would that money allow you to do? Would it allow you to be able to wake up in the morning, mm-hmm. and not feel like I have somewhere to be, because
yeah.
if I'm not where I have to be, I don't get paid.
Yeah.
Like name your money, mm-hmm. you know, like that was the goal for me. The goal was I want to be able to wake up one day, mm-hmm. in my own place, in my own bed, and be like, I don't need to do shit if I don't want to today.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is financially taken care of,
mm-hmm.
and I have peace of mind. And I don't need to scrounge around and offer, you know, a last minute discount for mm-hmm. anything in order to do a cash injection in my business.
Yeah.
Right. Like name your money, right? Like, because that I think will allow women to get more comfortable with asking for more money is like naming what that money means to you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. You know, like Name your money.
Mm-hmm.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there. Look, because I don't know about y'all kids. My child is expensive. She likes nice things.
Child, I know River expensive because she a tourist baby. So I know she likes the finer things.
Girl, yeah.
She likes.
I cannot. She's only two, y'all. For those who are listening, she's two. And she already be like, no, I want that.
Quality. Quality. River's my spirit girl. Yeah. I love River.
Yeah.
I love her.
So yeah.
And name your money, y'all. Name your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Tamir, I have absolutely loved talk. I feel like we could like go for like another hour.
We could.
Love talking. I have one more question that I have to ask. Yes. And it's one that I ask everyone I have here on the show. And that is, what does living on purpose mean to you?
Ooh. You know, I've been thinking about the answers to that question. I think living on purpose for me right now means feeling good.
Mm.
I think sometimes we forget about how we feel in the pursuit of, you know, and like being present. Mm. For a long time, I didn't have the opportunity to just be present in the moment. And so I find myself slowing down and really paying attention to what's happening around me. Mm-hmm. And also understanding that what I'm doing is God ordained.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's been a crazy 6 years. And there's so many opportunities for me to quit. And I think it's so important to remember, you know, whatever it is that you do, that it is God ordained. If it is for you, it will not pass you by. If it's for you, it will work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just staying present, staying in the moment, because you will not get this moment back. I guarantee you will not get it back. So I think for me, that is what living with purpose is for me right now, is just staying present, knowing that what I'm doing is God ordained, mm-hmm. and just being happy about it,
yeah.
feeling good about it.
Ooh, that'll preach to y'all. That'll preach too. And on that note, can you just tell everybody where they can go find you and get some more of these gems online?
Yes, hair flip.
Yes.
Y'all, I'm stupid. but if you want to learn more about Darden Creative and the services that we provide, you can simply go to dardencreative.com or the Darden Creative Instagram. But if you want to follow me and my shenanigans, just follow me on Instagram, tamara.darden. It's spelled the same way as T and Tamara, but if you need to double check, it's tamera.darden. No relation to Christopher Darden. I get that a lot. You can slide in my DMs. I don't bite. I love sending voice notes. Mm-hmm. So that's where you can find me.
Yeah. Thank you so much again for joining us.
Thank you. This was great. This was great. And now we're going to talk some more. So. Yeah.
Before you go, don't forget to rate the show and leave a review over on your favorite podcast streaming app like Apple Podcasts or Spotify. The more positive ratings we get, the more women we can impact with our message. Also, if you want more tips and strategies for building a thriving coaching business, sign up for my Mondays with Alicia newsletter. Each week, I share different tips, updates, and behind the scenes of what's happening in my business and inside of the coaching industry. All right, you guys, I will see you officially next week.